Toronto.
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive every episode at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Ah, we stink, man.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
No way!
Well, here we go with another Brock and Salk podcast. Brock is here. I am here. Howdy is here. Kyle is somewhere else. How are we doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good.
Do you find your mood affected greatly by... Do you find your mood, and maybe this is more of a Howdy question than a Brock question, but for both of you guys, throughout the course of a year, do you find your mood more affected by the weather or by the success of the local sports teams?
Ooh.
By far the sports teams. I've lived here my whole life. I know what to do when it rains, when it snows, when it's sunny.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, you've lived here your whole life. You know what to do when the Mariners lose, too.
Yeah, I get real mad. I have no recourse.
Well, why does that?
No recourse.
As opposed to the weather where you have recourse?
I'm going to watch movies and TV and have entertainment.
I mean, you realize you could do that when the Mariners lose also.
No, that doesn't help. It doesn't help at all.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. The weather, you get a sense of what's coming. The weather, if you're an amateur meteorologist like I am, or, you know, like a colonel in the Air Force like my Uncle Pete is a meteorologist, you can see, low pressure's building up, pressure's rising up. Yep, we're building a nice high pressure front. We're going to have some sunshine, actually. Or, oh boy, here comes what used to be a Pineapple Express. That's now offensive. So here comes the...
To pineapples?
To
other apples?
Just Pineapple
Other
Express.
Fruits? Okay.
So now it's called, what do they call
it's
it?
Now a river?
Atmospheric river.
Yes.
Yeah. So you just know that atmospheric river's coming, and you're just, whereas the Mariners, there's always, especially in April, May, there's always some hope. There's always some Ted Lasso belief. There's always the opportunity.
But you get that in the weather, too.
See something a little special.
You get a couple of 60-degree days in April, and you feel like you've turned the corner, and then you just get swatted right back down with the May that we've had until yesterday. So I would answer this question a little bit differently. I'll split the baby on it a little bit. I would say that the sports results and performance affects me much more acutely and in the moment. The weather issues affects me much more broadly and over time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That's fair. Yeah, that's understandable.
100% true of you. Yes.
Know thyself.
Absolutely true.
Know thyself, they say, Howdy. Yes. Yeah, it is. I'm very much in the moment affected by did the Mariners win last night? I wake up in a good mood. Did they lose last night? I wake up in a crappy mood. Like, that is very much, and certainly, the football and like that instant passion around it is different. Like, I don't wake up, look at the weather, see clouds, and start swearing.
But we've all written on our calendars from like December 1st to April 3rd. It's like, well, this is just going to get worse every day.
But that's not when I'm at my worst. I'm at my worst in late May and June when I'm like, okay, I'm done. I survived. I dealt with it. I was okay. Where is the bleep? Sun.
Yep.
What the heck?
Yep.
Yeah. So no, the last couple days have been beautiful. So my mood is great. I should be in a very positive mood today. And I will, I think, be so about the Mariners. I've managed to hold on to a lot of my positivity. There's a couple of issues, a couple of things that I'm waning on. Pretty frustrated with what's going on with Kelnick. And I feel like I'm, we've made this analogy before, Brock, right? Where you're like at a roulette table and they're showing you what comes up. And it's just a game of chance, but you're like, well, it's come up even 15 times in a row. I'm going odd, right? Or like I've gone odd 4, 5, 6, 7 times. I keep betting.
Tails never fails.
Eventually, odds going to come up. And I feel like that's where I'm at on Kelnick, where I like keep doubling down on the Kelnick love.
Mm-hmm.
And he hits the big home run. And honestly, I really felt that night like, yes, they lost on Friday night, but the Kelnick home run, if it spurs him forward and gets him right, it'll be much more important than whether or not they won or lost that game. He had two hits over the next two games and then right back to the same problems.
Correct.
And I'm so frustrated. All I want is for Jared Kelnick, because you see it in that home run, the easy power, the ability to drive the baseball, and then you combine it with his attitude and edge and like, dude, he nearly tackled Julio Rodriguez. It was awesome. That would be such a great compliment to Julio's smile and Haniger's intensity, right? If you, if the, and George Kirby's sort of quietness, if you were to bring in the edge of Jared Kelnick, but have it be really successful, you have so many cool ingredients to a great baseball team.
So I heard Churchill on this morning with you, or this week with you.
Yeah.
Does he just have a couple holes that just can't be filled?
Well,
you know, is there just swings and in areas and zones that he just unfortunately now just can't? I mean, we're not 100 at bats or 200 at bats or 300 at bats. I mean, we're kind of climbing the number of at bats, and we're seeing, unfortunately, some pretty consistent struggles, much more than we are seeing any level of consistent productivity.
Which is so frustrating, too, right? Because we saw in September last year, and really some parts of August as well, that there is a good player in there. Not just a good player, potentially a great one. I mean, I don't mean a Hall of Famer, but like potentially a very good player, an all-star level player.
Well, a player that can live up to the, just the raw goods. Yes. That's the other difference. It's kind of what you're alluding to. But he's just a physically freakish guy. He is. We've spent the month of April talking about the NFL draft. We will, I'm sure, talk about what you saw at rookie minicamp and break that down and talk through it a little bit more. But he is your 6'2", 220 run. If he were an NFL draft prospect, right, he'd be 6'2", 220 runs 4.4, you know, bench presses 225, 35 times, jumps 36 inches, like checks every physical box.
Yeah, and
I mean, one-legged squats over 400 pounds.
But you would also say Brocky's had the production to go with it, right? I mean, he crushed it in the minors. He was a high draft pick for a reason. He's had a great eye. Like, all the things that made Jared Kelnick a big prospect, a lot of them seem to have abandoned him. And like, I know there's been a lot of Dustin Ackley comp. I actually feel a little bit more Justin Smoked here a little bit, and not necessarily with the personality, because I think they're wired very differently. But, you know, Justin Smoke was supposed to have, in addition to the power, this and that, they're supposed to be an on-base percentage and the walks. And, you know, just it's not coming right now for Kelnick. Now, again, we've seen it. We know he's capable of it, right? He's going to have to make some adjustments. He is getting busted inside, high and inside with fastballs, low and away with breaking balls. He seems to struggle with both of those things, which I could live with. That is not uncommon for a 23, 24-year-old lefty. He is not alone in struggling with high inside fastballs and low outside curveballs. The problem is, I believe, with Jared Kelnick, is the balls that aren't that, correct, he's not hitting them.
Correct.
Like, it's okay if you don't catch up to the inside fastball. That's fine. When they leave a ball over the plate, don't foul it off. Don't roll over. You got to destroy the mistakes. And that's, I mean, I'm not disagreeing necessarily with Churchill, and I think he probably has a better eye for these things. He's right about those problems. But the biggest thing I see is just when you get the mistake, destroy it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, your margin then just becomes smaller, right? I mean, if you do have those things that you can attack, and these major league pitchers are the best in the world at continuing to attack and nibble your weaknesses, then all of a sudden, what did Scott Service say to us?
One per bat.
There you go.
Maybe two.
Maybe two. So, but then all of a sudden,
but you gotta hit it. But you gotta hit the one.
That's right. So that is truly about all you are getting.
But that doesn't make him that different from anybody else, and that's why I'm not like panicked about the weaknesses, right? All major league hitters have weaknesses. By the way, major league hitting is a weakness. Pitchers are dominating the hitters in this version of baseball. They all have weaknesses, and they've all been exposed. Most of them are struggling with high fastballs.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are struggling with, you know, outside curveballs and sliders especially. That's not unique to Jared Kelnick. The problem is the good ones are destroying mistakes when the pitchers make them, because as good as pitchers are, they still make mistakes. Yep. As much as they've understand now how to get the high strike and this and that, sometimes it doesn't get as high as you want it to. Sometimes the curveball doesn't break. Sometimes the slider just spins. Mm-hmm. And when you get that cement mixer, you have to punish it. Yep. And those are the ones that are, I believe, hurting Jared Kelnick.
Two things. I know Howdy's either nodding along or waiting, because I can just tell.
Nodding.
I can just tell the mood. I just feel the mood. A week ago, remember, he was banned from talking about the Mariners.
Right.
You weren't allowed. Nope. You were just not in the place to be allowed onto this podcast.
Nobody wins when I talked Mariners last week. Nobody would win.
I think you're in a little better spot, so I do want to get some of your wisdom and insight on this as well. But just out of the mouth of babes, Titus and I were watching the game the other night, and he's all over it. And I'm sure there's a lot of 12-year-olds all over the Puget Sound and abroad doing the same thing that Titus is doing. He's looking at Kelenic and Julio. He's like, man, Julio's killing it, Dad. You see how fast Julio is? You see how Julio had 3 hits the other night? Like, he's looking at box scores every day. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's into it. And Kelenic, man, he is struggling. And we're watching the other night, and he said this, and I thought it was just so keen, right, out of the mouth of a 12-year-old. Dad, does it feel like Jared Kelenic changes his stance more than anybody else?
He does.
And I'm like, yeah, Ty, he's struggled. And then right there with it came a fun little baseball story, because our neighbor here is made it to the Double A. Actually has a no Scott service.
This is Hunter the Hunter,
yes,
right?
Yes, Hunter the Hunter, and Hunter the former catcher, and Hunter who worked with Scott Service.
Did I tell you
bunch.
I asked Scott about that?
No.
I did. I asked Scott about Hunter, and he was like, oh, yeah, great guy. Remember him. Yeah, he had some really nice things to say.
Great guy. He's just a terrific, terrific guy, and he coaches his son's little league teams and loves to catch, and has been an awesome resource for Titus, hitting, pitching, all of it. He's got a little net in the basement of his house downstairs. And, you know, we were chatting the other day. I think Titus even asked him, like, Mr. Hunter, what was your biggest challenge, you know, in minor leagues and Double A, and basically alluding to why weren't you a major leaguer? And he said, I listened to too many people. Mm-hmm. I was constantly trying to please every hitting coach, every developmental coach, every off-season coach. I was constantly tweaking and adjusting my stance and my swing and all of these things. And it was, I mean, I wasn't good enough, period, end of story. But if I dig into it further, you know, you've just got to trust your feel, trust your instincts, trust your hands, trust your ability. And if you start to listen to all of these a million ways to do it, you're going to run into more trouble.
Well, I don't think that's unique. And nope. By the way, a lot of successful players have changed their stances and tweaks. I mean, Kyle Seager was probably the best example, right? There were all kinds of changes and tweaks and this and that. And yep. He was always sort of chasing the next thing and had a lot of success while doing so. So, you know, you can absolutely succeed while doing that. What I find interesting about Kelenic, and I think you hit a lot of the nail on the head there of listening to a lot of people, and if you listen to Churchill, which you said you did, you heard Jason say he's not trusting his hands right now, that he's guessing a little bit too often, is that to me that's a confidence problem. Odd or ironic maybe because of the bravado that he has always carried himself with and smell you later and kind of that whole thing, but if you pop a hole in a balloon, what are you left with?
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that, you know, the off day is tomorrow.
He's off today.
He's
already.
Off today. It wouldn't surprise me if Jared Kelenic gets sent down tomorrow on Thursday. I'm not going on inside information. I don't know that. This is literally just kind of trying to use the baseball logic mind and haven't been around the game for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It might be time to see Steven Souza for a little while, and not because I'm done with Jared Kelenic or I want to punish him or I'm mad at him or anything like that. If he's guessing and he's, you know, not trusting himself, then that's not a physical issue. That's a mental issue. And he needs to go down to AAA. We know he's too good for AAA. By the way, Cal Raleigh's too good for AAA. Cal Raleigh, AAA seems like a freaking joke.
What a joke.
How bad is minor league baseball? Cal Raleigh goes down to AAA baseball and kills it.
It's 300 from, like, both sides of the plate.
It's unbelievable with power and everything else. He comes up here, he is the worst hitter in major league baseball. And I think I might actually mean that. I'm not trying to insult the guy, but I think, what is he hitting? 0-50?
Yep.
I mean, he doesn't have, by the way, this is going to come out by tomorrow. Raleigh's going to have 3 hits today and a home run.
Uh-huh.
But there are times you watch him play, and he looks like literally the worst hitter in Major League Baseball, and he's destroying AAA pitching. So that's the difference right now between AAA and the majors. But if that's what Kelenic needs, to essentially go down and hit off a tee for a little while, great.
Just learn to trust himself again, like you're talking about. You know, there's an interesting lens you can look at this, too, when you compare Julio Rodriguez and Jared Kelenic, because Julio Rodriguez is not playing like the type of player he's been his whole minor league career.
True.
He is not hitting the ball over the fence like crazy, bashing the walls, and just getting all of his extra base hits that way. He's adjusted knowing that it might take me some time to do that well, and right now, the way I need to get success is to hit the ball hard, whatever angle it takes to hit the ball hard. Mm-hmm. He hits a lot of low-line drives and a lot of hard ground balls.
Yep.
And the result is, his slugging percentage is not great. His on-base percentage is okay, and his strikeouts are starting to go down. His walks are starting to go up.
By the way, both of those things in the last, 2.5 weeks, he's like sixth in baseball. Like, you're right. I mean, if you look at the whole package, including what he was until, April 27th or whatever, yeah, it's been really bad. But if you look at the last couple of weeks, he's been tremendous.
He's without
hitting the ball out of the ballpark.
He's changed his approach because he knows he is right now in baseball.
He's not ready. He's not ready to swing. And occasionally he'll let one rip. Right. You can see it. It's like, oh, I got a 3-1 count. Now, okay, I'll give this one shot.
Yes. Julio Rodriguez knows he's not ready to be the final form of Julio Rodriguez today.
He's developing.
Jared Kelnick has been so desperate to be the final form of Jared Kelnick since the day he got here, and every adjustment that I see him make and that I hear him talk about and what he wants to get to is to be the final version of Jared Kelnick tomorrow.
You know what he should remember? Patience is the shortcut. Mm. Honestly, I mean, like, it's been the Mariners, you know, kind of mantra in their front office, right? Throughout their whole development and the rebuild, patience is the shortcut. Well, it might be a good piece of advice for Jared Kelnick right now. It'll come. Stop trying to make it come, and it'll come. And I think that's a pretty astute point on Julio and why he's been able to have some.
That's
early
why
you're
allowed to talk today, Howdy. Wait, I'm really proud of you.
Julio's so fun. He's so fun, man. Amazing. The smile, the speed, even without hitting the ball out of the ballpark, which you know is going to come. Everything, the rest of the package.
You know what's
so
remarkable
fun.
About that too is. He was getting dropped. Like, he was tested. Right. Like, not only did he have, you know, the natural struggles as he's adjusting to this league, he's also, and I know others do too, and there's some stats out there saying easy, other guys, but as a rookie, it was very clear he was going to get hosed, and he was going to have to deal with that. And he's not going to glare at the umpire. He's not going to snap his bat. He's not going to freak out.
He didn't do
out.
Any of that.
None of it.
The Mariners did
He never flinched.
But... have you noticed the it stopped.
It did.
When Scott went out thrown out, and when the Mariners, you know, whatever they did, called Major League, I know what they did. They called baseball and
said, here's half a dozen, here's a dozen.
Yeah, they were like, well, then they submitted some video or physical evidence to go with it, and it went away.
Yep.
I mean, legitimately.
But he didn't flinch through that. He didn't change his approach through that.
He's had one strike three called out of the zone since that day.
Which is fine. I mean, it happens to everybody. And I'd be willing to bet that was, I don't know this, but because I know they called. I heard sort of a little bit about how that went. I don't know whether or not they made the point to Major League Baseball. Hey, and by the way, the dude hasn't said squat.
That's right.
Right? Like, hey, you want to give him the rookie hazing? Fine. And if he turns around like Kelnick did and gets mad every time, I get it. You want to put him in his place? This dude didn't do that. Every god-awful call against him, he trotted back to the dugout with a smile on his face. Like, what else do you want? And it sure seems like that worm is turned entirely and in a really positive way for Julio.
Okay, so that's 31 games in. So here's the other thing that we brought up before the season. I think we brought this up in February, March, some of the spring training broadcasts talking about this dynamic. So what happens? What happens if Julio's good? What happens if this game, he doesn't struggle mightily and he doesn't flinch, and to Howdy's point, he adjusts his game to the big league level and he helps his team, and over the last 2-3 weeks becomes one of the best players on this team. What does that do to the other guy? Does that put added squeeze on that bat of Jared Kelnick?
It might.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I wondered about that in spring training. It might.
Yes, you did. And how is that going to play? Is it going to be a benefit that Jared now, you know, some of the pressure's off of him and the other guy can carry some of it? Let the other guy's charisma, his natural charisma, his natural joy, just let that go. And
that doesn't seem to be happening right now.
No, it does not.
No. But again, like, you know, let's see what happens when they kind of do the kid some favors and send him down and kind of see what happens when he comes back up with his confidence and everything else. I think as much as I brought up that question in spring training, Brock, and I think there's some reality to it, I don't think that's the case right now. I think Kelnick's problems right now are squarely with himself. I don't even think he's paying attention to what Julio Rodriguez is doing. He's too worried about what Jared Kelnick.
It doesn't seem to be an attitude issue with Jared Kelnick. He doesn't seem to have a bad attitude or anything like that.
It's a psychology
seems to be
issue.
More of a he can't fix it.
Right.
He can't do it. It's not an effort, it's not an attitude. It's just he doesn't know how to do it. He can't do it.
Does he have the hands and the eye to do it? Does he have the swing speed to do it? I mean, those are legitimate questions. And to your point,
I think the answer to that is yes.
Yes, he
does. Think it is?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But I think it's an approach thing because he has turned this stuff around. He has hit all sorts of different kinds of pitches, even at the major league level. And he has had success over an entire September where he changed his approach and he started to put it all together. But the fact that he needs to change so many things to get right on track, it's not simple. He has to fix like 13 things in order to be an effective major league hitter right now. He can't do that.
Yeah, and in the meantime, and not to move this away from Kelnick, because I don't want to keep beating the horse on the guy, and I think they need to send him down. And he needs to get right and then come back up, and then let's have another conversation about him. You know, where's Jesse Winker? Right? Like, that's actually probably a bigger short-term concern for me. I know that the long-term concern is on Kelnick because he's such a big part of your future. But, hey, last thing maybe. Let's say Jared Kelnick busts. Okay, let's speak the worst thing that could happen. He busts. If they hit on Julio Rodriguez, George Kirby, and Logan Gilbert, and Jared Kelnick busts, they've crushed it. That's a fantastic percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, so as much as I am really wrapped up, personally invested in Jared Kelnick's success, if he doesn't succeed, I sure hope I don't hear same old Mariners. Right? If the other three guys do, oh, well, this guy stinks, or the Mariners stink. Like, well, look, we knew they're not going to hit on all of them. Not every one of these guys is going to work out. If Kirby and Gilbert and Julio all do, then they've done their job plus, right?
50% yep. hit rate on your top prospects.
All right. Well, that would be 75. So that would be really fantastic. And hopefully, even if Kelnick doesn't turn into the guy we thought he might be, he still turns into a good player.
He's a great right fielder. He's showing that now. He's a great right fielder.
And we should give him some credit for that as well. As much as he has struggled at the plate, he's not taken any of it to the base paths or to the field the way he did last year. Yeah. That's some pretty good maturity, and I think that deserves to be mentioned and noted for him.
Just be hard, man. It'll just kind of be hard to swallow that one because he does check so many of the boxes. Yep. Dustin Ackley, as it turned out, had kind of a bum ankle, didn't really have a and I know baseball players is not all about, you know, being buff and muscular and all of that stuff. But, you know, as it turned out, he didn't have a plus arm. He didn't have plus speed. He didn't have a plus body. And eventually just kind of wore down and into nothing. I mean, this is the kid that's just chiseled out of granite. This is the kid.
But you know what? You also
kids.
Got to see the early years of what's the guy who's now killing it in St. Louis, Tyler O'Neill. And it looked like a disaster. And then a year or two in, all of a sudden he figured it out. And now he's crushing the ball for the Cardinals. So I'm not writing off Jared Kelnick, not even close to it, but I do think that it might be time for them to send him down and see if the minors could be helpful to him. I am a little concerned short-term about Jesse Winker. I mean, not only is he not living up to who Jesse Winker is supposed to be, he's not even hitting the ball hard.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's rollovers and little pop-ups and weak, lazy fly balls. Like, he's not even stinging the ball.
Mm-mm.
Like, where is that? At the beginning of the year, all right, he got jobbed on a couple of long ones that he hit hard. I can't even remember the last ball he hit hard.
One homer, five doubles, 109 at-bats, a negative .5 war right now. We knew he would be miserable against lefties, and that's continued, right? I mean, that split was real, even in the National League, and even in that ballpark, it was still a struggle for him to hit lefties. But it's the same thing. I mean, it's a very similar conversation, is it not? When you do get your opportunity to do damage, you got to do damage.
Yep.
And that's not happening. That's why Dad Service came out the other night, right? After the game with four hits, Julio having three of them. Like, you know, Dad Service had to come out and just say, hey, man, you know, like when you get your opportunities in this league, you got to capitalize on them. Yeah. You got to maximize them. When you get them in your bats, you've got to take advantage and do some damage. Yeah. And right now, Toro's not doing that per se. Winker's not, certainly not consistently. Winker's not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Suarez is to a point.
I think he's kind of done what you'd expect him to do. He's going to be inconsistent, and when he hits the ball, he's going to hit hard.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's kind of what I've expected from Suarez, and his defense has been better than advertised. So I'm reasonably happy with how that's going. And, you know, we didn't really get to talk about George Kirby because that was over the weekend. I mean, like, you want to talk about a few things that could really start to make this thing work for the Mariners. If that is who George Kirby is, I don't mean he's never going to give up a run, but if that's who he is, That's pretty good conversation.
That's pretty good track record.
That's pretty good.
Collegiately, minor league, same thing. Like, yep. That's pretty good track record. In 97 with movement, I think I told you this the other day, Ty and I were watching that game, and like Ty said, what is that pitch? How did that pitch move that much?
It's so crazy because it's a four-seam fastball.
Correct.
But it moves like a sinker.
And it moves... Yes,
glove, it moves glove. Laterally. Arm, it moves yes. Yeah, arm side.
Arm
run.
Side. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
At 98.
And it's also nuts that he had all his buddies there. How freaking cool was that?
Yeah.
Seriously, how neat is that? That hey, man, whenever you make it up in your first bet, we're gonna make it happen. We're gonna make it work. We're gonna be there.
I'm surprised that we actually don't hear more of those stories. Of like, you know what I mean? Of like everybody.
But then you meet the baseball guys. And
well, I also think one
not you, the most sociable.
Well, and also he's well, neither is he. I mean, he's very quiet compared to some of his peers. But I wonder if some of that is that he's from the Northeast, and I don't mean because the Northeast is better or anything like that. In fact, I kind of mean the opposite. It's rare for baseball players to come from the Northeast, right? Not these days, because you just can't play year round. They come from Florida, Texas, California, et cetera.
Were those high school buddies Arizona, like that? Or were they more somewhere. Elon?
No, a lot of them were high school, like going all the way back to Little League.
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah. So I think that probably might explain, like, hey, we're actually going to get a guy from our town into the big leagues as a huge deal versus like, hey, I grew up in Arizona. Everyone from my town is now in the big leagues.
Is he Stelton's favorite player ever?
Kirby?
Oh, Brendan Ryan is.
Yeah.
Oh, I just meant
they never
more.
Gonna
replace.
Just
no one
more.
Will ever replace Brendan Ryan.
I just meant more of the hat, more of the head.
Oh, the little head. See, that's unnecessary. Why do you gotta go into the body image of it all?
Sorry.
That's really unnecessary. I don't see any reason why you would need to go there. But
filthy. He was totally and completely filthy.
Go ahead.
And make it, I mean, what's fun is when you see major leaguers swing the way that those guys swung. Mm-hmm. Granted, first time out, right? Always a little bit of advantage to the pitcher. They don't have a book on him. They haven't necessarily seen him. And just to make those guys look as silly, to saw them off, to have them guessing, holy cow, you know, that just, it resonated. It spoke, and to your point, man, if he's any semblance of that, and Logan continues to be what he has been this season, and obviously Julio with his joy in his game continues, that is a positive spin on a rough 14-17 start for this club.
If Scott Service is dad, is Joe Girardi an angry uncle? Did you see him get tossed from the game the other night? Oh, it was great. That's how you should get tossed. Like, if you're going to get tossed, really get mad. Like, really, like, drop some F-bombs, the whole deal. Like, I thought Girardi, that was a really good manager getting tossed experience.
It was.
That fit the Philly. That fit Philly.
Right?
Really, really well, yes.
I'm still not entirely sure how they should have called that play. So, Frazier's running down the line. It's not a situation where, like, on a bunt where it's up to him to get into foul ground to get out of the way. Mm. It's not that. He's running straight on a ground ball up the middle, and the first baseman, Rhys Hopkins, is not giving him anywhere else to go other than to cut back on the second base side of first base, right? And so when Hopkins swings the glove around on the backhand attempt on the short hop, that's right where Frazier is. That's not on purpose. So this isn't an A-Rod slapping the ball out of his hand situation. Mm. So that's definitely out. But would you say that Hopkins, does he need to complete the process of that catch?
What was Joe arguing?
Well, that he doesn't, right? That he's already made the catch. Basically, in baseball, I don't know the rule book enough to know the answer, but there are two comparable situations, but both are different. One would be the transfer rule, right? Mm-hmm. Where on a transfer on a double play at second base, if you drop it on the transfer, the batter or the runner is still out.
Correct.
And generally on that, they'll give you a lot of leeway as to what is considered to be the transfer. They almost always call you out and then say that you dropped it on the transfer. But the other side of that equation would be the play at the plate, where there's a tag.
And you got to maintain
all the
possession.
Way to the ground, right?
Yep.
But this isn't either of those. It's not a transfer, but it's also a force out, not a tag.
Correct.
So I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. Howdy?
I got no clue.
Yeah. You were there. You weren't telling the people around you what the rule was?
I was like, well, I'm...
Well, actually,
I would have expected you to just be like, well, of course, what you got
50-50,
here
50-50, whatever you call is whatever's going to be happening there. whatever. That one did not register on my outrage meter. There's so many things to be outraged by with the way that the game is being umpired today. It's going so far out of control, and these umpires are in such a bent out of shape way because they know that they're becoming obsolete and they want to lash out at people. And yeah, that's
I love
not
how
real.
Howdy not only says what's going on, but he gives you the reasoning. Like he's got
with 100% fact,
the 100% certainty, the psyche of umpires in general. Yep. You know this to be
true? Yes, of course it's true. Give me another explanation of why these things are going crazy and nuts right now. It doesn't make any sense.
Well,
because they actually feel the weight and the pressure of these stupid machines that judge them on an every single night basis, and the pressure makes them crack.
Coming down on them, and they're upset because now they're going to have to change what they do, and they're not in control and power, and so they need to grab some back.
I don't know, buddy. Maybe. I guess that's possible. I don't know that I've thought as deeply about the psyche of the umpire.
You take some time to think about it. You'll get exactly to where I am.
Do what I can. Thank you. Last thing quickly on baseball. Any chance you guys watched Ketel Marte's swing and a miss the other day? Is there any chance you watched this? Do me a favor. I retweeted it, but it's from the pitching ninja dude, Rob Friedman. There is a inside slider at Ketel Marte's feet. He's swinging left-handed. Where he starts to swing and the momentum of the bat literally takes him off of his feet and he collapses onto the plate. It might be the I watched it, Brock. I'm not kidding. I probably watched it 30 times this morning. I could not stop laughing at this. Just do yourself a favor and watch Ketel Marte striking out. It's hysterically funny. So, all right, you guys want to talk a little Famous Dave's Catering?
I'm ready.
All right, you ready for summer weddings? Yeah, we're talking weather. We're talking birthday parties, graduation gatherings. Famous Dave's Catering is ideal when you want your event to be delicious or memorable or stress-free. You just pick the date. We'll handle the rest. Customized for delivery, pickup, or full service. The Famous Q is designed to allow you to kick back, relax, and crush sawsome selections. You want some highlights?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate barbecue bundle. Serves 10. Two slabs of St. Louis-style spare ribs. 3 pounds of wings. Ooh. Choice of sauce. 3 pounds of wings. How many wings do you think that is?
3 pounds of wings.
How many wings in a pound? Probably
12?
I was going to say like 8. 6 to 8? I could tell you there's 4 boneless thighs roughly in a pound. So I'm going to guess wings are a little less than a thigh, right?
Yeah.
So maybe
you're
looking at 6 to 8 probably in a pound. Right. So that's my guess. You got pulled chicken, you got Georgia chopped pork, 3 quarts of sides, 10 sandwich buns. That's a pretty good barbecue bundle. You got box meals, they got barbecue bowls, wraps, sandwiches, customizable sides, and then summer-inspired greens, fresh garden salad, homemade desserts, Dave's award-winning melt-in-your-mouth bread pudding. You can get more details at famousdaves.com/catering. Brock, I don't know whether I should tell you the information that I have here, but I'm going to.
I know you will.
It's dawned on me that I should keep this to myself, and as Howdy will tell you, there are times where I should probably learn from my previous mistakes and just keep my mouth shut and remember there's no upside to whatever you're going to say. But in the spirit of confession and honesty, I will admit something to you.
Okay, before you do, can I just say if it has anything to do with my former producer, Jimmy Zaroli, who still gets mad at me, no, not your commentary, but he still gets mad at me. Because every football game he covers now, and when he walks the field now, he's looking at calves and ankles and gluteus maximus.
It's not that. I have no shame, and we will talk about Nick Paul, the biggest human I've ever seen.
Oh, great. Okay.
In a couple minutes. It was not about that.
Oh, good.
Not about minicamp.
Oh.
I went to the doctor last week. Okay. Now I'm going to the doctor this week. We've talked about that. I've got a little adult male procedure ahead of me. On
enhancement.
Not an enhancement. More of a decrease in function kind of move. Heading to see Dr. Snip on Friday. So I'm a little nervous about it. In fact, I'm very, 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 very nervous about it. But that's kind of what's in the cards for me on Friday. No, I went to see my regular doctor last week, and given the state of being for the last couple of months, I decided to refuse to be weighed in. I just said no. And I found out you were allowed to do that. Just like, oh, and we're going to need your weight. You're like, yeah, I'm good. No, thanks. And they're like, oh, okay. And so they write like refused. And I was like, excuse me, politely refused. Like, I want to make sure the chart.
I said no, thank you.
Right, I said it very nicely. I didn't like steadfastly refuse. How about just like N.A. or have something like that?
Have you shared this story before? Have you
no. You share, well, oh. I shared a little bit of it on the show.
Okay.
But thanks for listening. So uh-huh. I politely refused to be weighed in.
Uh-huh.
But then they're like, oh, well, do you mind? Just we got to grab the height. And I'm like, I don't know why you got to grab the height. Like, I feel like the weight changes. The height should be pretty stable.
I'm a full-grown man. Right? Why do you need my height?
Why do you need to keep... Why is this necessary?
Oh, no. This man grew 2 inches. We need to do some more tests.
Right. So,
what are you looking for?
All right, but whatever. Like, I've already refused to be weighed in. I don't feel like I can now, in good conscience, refuse the height check because, like, who cares? And also, it should be the same, and I don't want to be a jerk.
Uh-huh.
Especially this woman's like first day. She's training. There's like a guy training her with me. Like, I don't want to make her day hard, right? She's hard at work. Okay.
Right.
So they you know, I stand up there and they do the thing on the top of my head.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, I think you do.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, great, still 5'10"? She goes, 5'10"? Like, I've been 5'10 for most of my life. And she's like, maybe. I got you at 5'9¼". I'm like, what? All right. I understand 5'9¾", because I've sort of been like, you know, it varies within like a quarter of an inch. Fine. 5'9¼". I'm going to walk right out of here. I was like, do whatever you do. Just don't tell Brock. And then here I am. I'm telling you about it. Brock, I'm shrinking.
You know, I think the real issue is you walked into an MLB umpire situation and you tried to pull some power away from them and they went yep. right back and did,
that's
oh,
right.
so you oh. don't want to do the weight thing, huh? Well, guess how tall you are now, Michael?
I'll tell you what, Howdy. That's the best answer. That explanation is great. It basically invalidates the whole thing.
Yes.
If you were a defense attorney, you would have gone through the whole story and clearly proven to the to the jury that they were just out for blood and revenge.
Fast forward. That's all I did. Just fast forward to the end.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, I feel so much better about this
did
now.
Did you also deny the blood pressure?
No,
blood
I was fine with that. No, I was good with all that.
Okay.
No, all right. I was all fine. Okay, yeah, good. I don't mind doing all that. No, but refuse to be weighed.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, I at the combine was 6'4" and like 14/16 or 15. Like, I was a fingernail under 6'5".
You always say you're 6'5".
Right, but now like I go, yeah, when I get, I've probably dropped half an inch too.
Half an inch?
Yeah, like 6'4½" is my physical. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So you've dropped 3/4. The weight of the world is
probably
knocked you
down
half
an
by
inch.
Three
no,
quarters.
It's probably about half an inch because I'm, and you know, I was probably between 5'9¾" and 5'10". I definitely was not over 5'10".
Well, let's think about this for a second. Think about so many of the struggles you've had from the kidney stones on up, right?
Right.
You've had middle of the back issues, neck issues.
Yep.
You can't tell me your posture hasn't changed.
It probably has.
Of course it has. Yeah. So, yeah.
Did you see, I don't know whether you saw this, Howdy, maybe this would interest you. Did you see that you can now get surgery to get taller?
Yes, I did see that. In California.
I read the whole article on it. Just out of curiosity.
Bone lengthening.
It sounds awful.
Oh, yeah.
So it's cost about $75,000. Insurance obviously won't pay for it. So the guy who did it started an OnlyFans account where he did all kinds of weird fetishy stuff in order to pay off the $75,000 bill.
Okay.
And I mean, at least the guy in this article I was reading. Right. Yeah, no kidding. But so he gets the surgery. Do you know how they do it? Have you read about how they do it?
No.
Do they break the legs?
They break both your femurs.
Yeah.
They insert a rod into both femurs, and the rod grows very slowly over time. And as it grows, the bone grows longer around it.
So as the bone is healing, it's like, nope, stretch a little more.
That's right.
Then you've got to grow
heal
some more.
Heal this way. Heal this way.
Grow a little bit
and
more.
And so it takes about a year to come back from. You've got to use a walker and you can't walk at the beginning, and then over time and therapy, etc., over the course of a year, you can gain up to about like 2-2.5 inches, something like that. And but it's all in your femur. And that to me, like, I'm not looking to get longer legs. I'm looking to get a longer torso so that the stomach doesn't look nearly as large. Like, my height thing is more about lengthening the torso.
These surgeries make everyone end up looking like Gru from Despicable Me. Just
right.
Just giant, long, skinny legs.
I don't want...
little pot belly kettles in the middle
right.
of their bodies.
I don't want to look like the stork that we saw in Frankfurt.
No.
I want to... I mean, I don't need extra long legs. I want to lengthen the torso so I don't look like such a fat slob. So anyway,
well,
that's
they
not call, in the
they
car.
Do that by breaking your ribs. Okay,
oh.
So they go in and they break your ribs, and they put these rods to extend your ribs.
Right, they do it to your spine.
Cut
it's not
your,
a problem. We just break your
yeah,
spine.
They cut your body in half, and then they cut, put a couple of discs in there,
yeah.
and they fuse it together.
Yeah. How do you write about that in Gizmag?
Yes.
Yeah.
Been working
okay.
On it.
So
anyway, no, Brock.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I was body image guy when I was Maura. I was with Maura too, and she's just like. What is wrong with you?
I'm
like,
sorry.
Why do you keep talking about their bodies?
Just blame me. Just say, I never
we
used
did.
To do this. I mean, I never, until I worked with this guy for like the last 13 years.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, now I can't do it any
the
differently.
Thing is, usually when I like throw shade at you, it works because everybody loves you. But you're sort of on Maura's bad list because you called her a cat lady.
Right.
And now like bringing up your name doesn't have the same effect it normally
True.
Does.
She's already pissed.
Yeah. She already didn't like you. That's kind of
so
a
you walk, you walk
that.
In the door. Is it
yeah.
indoors? It was indoors that
yes.
day. Or is it outside? Is it indoors? Indoor?
Yeah.
Okay. You walk inside. To feel a little weird? First time in a while, right? That media was kind of...
Yeah, we were out there a little bit for training camp last year. But yeah, it definitely felt odd. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Okay. First, and is your scanning and scouring. First thing you're looking at, Levi Lewis. Next
yeah.
Russell Wilson.
Well, so Levi Lewis, unfortunately
Levi
for
Lewis.
Him, was like next to a bunch of offensive linemen.
Mm. Could he use a bone lengthening surgery?
Yes.
He could use a lot. Yeah, he's really short. I mean, he's yeah. like 5'8". I mean, like, he's shorter than Russ by an inch or two.
And like 170 pounds.
Yeah. He looked good, though. He was fast and, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, he can move around a little bit. Like, I'm still kind of intrigued to watch him and kind of see what it
Isn't
looks
it
like.
Isn't it amazing, quite honestly? Like, last century when I played, 5'8", 170. No matter even if you could throw it 70 yards, you're just a receiver. You're just a receiver. And you look at those guys, and I do, and this is my first mention, go ahead, drinking game, USFL. Well, I'm in the USFL now, and I'm looking at some of these guys wondering, how in the world did this guy throw for 7,000 yards in college? He can't throw. Like, he's got a hitch in his giddy up, and he's tiny, and he's overweight. Like, how did they get him? But the systems today, and I was looking at some of the Levi Lewis video from camp. He's just having to do the basics of, like, the first step from under center. Like, he's learning... You know, just the game from playing it under center because at his size, Mike, you never could. But today's game and college game and high school game and spread, man, you're all Doug Flutie's. Right? The first time I played against Doug Flutie, 99 season, rookie year, 2000 season, the Bills came and played the Seahawks. It was in Husky Stadium, I think the final game, because next year we went into CenturyLink at that time. And I remember watching Doug Flutie in person, seeing him in warmups, like, no way, no humanly possible way that you could see and play quarterback. Mm. And then the game started and he like took the snap at 7.5 yards, like almost halfway between a punter. And I'm like, oh, okay. So he created so much space, so many lanes, had a phenomenal arm, great athlete, all of those things. But yeah, when I see so many of these prospects, Shea Patterson, former Michigan guy in the USFL, he's barely 6 foot tall. Like, yeah, you can't see. You can't see pre-snap, and unfortunately, you don't have the game to see post-snap either. Levi Lewis, phenomenal, phenomenal college player. But 5'8", 170, I don't know how you see at this level, especially doing some of the things in this system he's going to have to do under center.
Of all of the people that played in the wrong era, Doug Flutie's number one.
Oh, 100%.
Can you imagine, first of all, if they had just given him a chance in his prime rather than at the end, if the league had truly given Doug Flutie a chance then, he would have been good. Would have been maybe great. But can you imagine Doug Flutie in today's game?
Kyler Murray.
Better.
More accurate. I think more accurate.
Exactly. Better passer than Kyler Murray.
Because Flutie's like Russell. I think he has bigger hands. Mm-hmm. I think he's kind of one of those like with longer arms, bigger hands, and can spin it. Kyler's a little guy with short arms, and when he misses, that thing sails, and it's, you know, pick heavy. But okay, so that's Levi. What was next?
Well, the guy who stood out more than anybody else, like I was trying to look for some of the people I said I was going to look for, and my eyes fixated on Abe Lucas and never left.
Yeah.
By far the most impressive looking dude out there. I understand that Charles Cross is going to, you know, has more talent, skills, etc. I couldn't see their skill, especially the offensive linemen. They were only doing walkthrough. yeah. from nothing more than a straight body perspective, you could not, you couldn't notice, you couldn't not notice Abe Lucas.
It's a body perspective, but then it's watching the body also move,
mm-hmm.
right? Watching him even do the bag drills to start practice, to watch him like run to the stretch line. You're like, wow. Like he ran, remember what he ran? He ran 4.9 at the combine. He ran faster than I did. And a lot of guys.
I'm not surprised by that. He looks like a better athlete than you.
Yeah, he probably is.
I'm not joking. And I don't mean to. I know that often I just take shots at you.
Yes.
You're obviously a fantastic athlete. That's not a shot.
No.
But he looks like a better athlete than you do. It's just, it's a remarkable how athletic he looks.
6'6", 315, 34-inch arms is from the combine. Ran 4.92. 4.92. Like that, you know, there's Jerry Rice when he was 40 with the Seahawks couldn't run 4.92.
Stop.
I'm dead serious. And bench 225 with those 34 inch arms 24 times. I mean, that's just, it's just a different caliber of athlete. And it's, I don't even know who his comp the last 12 years in Seattle has been. I mean, Dwayne Brown is a tremendous athlete, but Dwayne Brown's a little bit more Charles Cross, right? Like 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, looking at him, I did see a little bit of Dwayne Brown. I think I would say that. You know,
and Abe Lucas?
Yeah, a little bit. You know who else it sort of reminded me of? I think he was more of a guard, and he wasn't that good by the time he got here, was Ibushi. Do you remember that guy?
No. O'Day, Obada, Body, Ibushi.
Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong guy.
You're thinking of somebody wrong.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of a different guy. Yeah. But there was another guy like that. There was a guard or somebody that was here briefly where it's like, oh man, that dude is built perfectly for this.
Yeah, you know who it was, and his body got totally trashed in the league.
It was Upati, maybe.
Upati was big. Yeah. I mean, it was a guy with the Raiders that was a first round pick, top five guard.
Robert Gallery?
There you go.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
And Robert Gallery, by the time he got here, was so broken down, his back, his knees, his body. But Robert Gallery coming out of school, I think there's a very, very common theme and thread there that just you are, and I've told this story a bunch of times, I met Abe Lucas in high school, and he was 6'6", 240. And he's one of those you could project and go, yep, put 80 pounds on and it won't affect you. Put 80 pounds, I don't care, on Salk with 2 inches longer femur, it's going to affect you.
I've actually put on 80 pounds in just the last couple of months. It is definitely affecting me.
Your body's going to break down. You're going to shrink. You're going to get 3/4 of an inch shorter with that weight that you put on. Not him. He got actually to be a better athlete. And and I think it's just just an ideal fit for what they're doing. So it doesn't shock me that you spotted him. And those two guys
are both going to start, I think. I mean, I think he's going to be your starter at right tackle, and Cross is going to be your starter at left tackle, and everyone else can kind of figure it out. I don't know how challenging that will be for them, but, I talked to Shane Waldron today, Brock, and just like you predicted, he did mention the illusion of complexity.
No.
Yep, he did. Just
he like, did? Like, did you ask him or did
No,
he...
literally he said it before Shut I even up. Had a chance to.
Get out of here.
Not joking.
Wow.
He literally brought it up.
Funny.
But I followed up and tried to understand exactly what he means. And if I understand it right, it's essentially running an offense that is hard for the defense to figure out what you're doing while still being simple enough for your guys to run it.
That's right. That's right. So you can repeat that over and over and over and over again. And that track that we're going to run on the zone run game is going to look exactly like the track on the play action game, which is going to be very similar to the track you're going to run in the screen game. And you marry all those things together, and it's like your pitching ninja guy that you watch. Like the ball leaves the hand, and is this a slider? Is this a curve? Where is it going? Oh my gosh, it looks like the same thing. And I can't figure
That's
it
good
out.
Point. Yeah.
Can't figure it out. So I think that is the aim. And when you have... It's harder to do that. I mean, it's harder to do that with Brandon Schell, and Dwayne was more than capable.
But by the end, I mean, not quite as athletic as
not as athletic.
The beginning.
But you need guys that can run that track. You need guys that have the athleticism to be able to get out and to be able to move and be able to hook people and be able to seal people and be able to run with people and be able to get to the second level of people. And that's why it was always perplexing to me with Cable and the guys that he would bring in and why you would ever, 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 draft a homeboy who went to the Bears. I'm blanking on his name. Oh, gosh. Remember that first rookie minicamp? I turned to you and I was like, what is that? It's like knock-kneed and like feet look like just cement, like he can't move. And, you know, sure enough, you're going to be challenged to sustain in this league. At least athletically, those two tackles right from the jump sustain athletically.
So what are they going to do, a quarterback, Brock? What are they going to do? Like, I mean, I was saying to you yesterday.
Okay, before we get to QB, can we just address Nick Paul?
Yes. Well, okay. Address him as Sir. Sir Nick Paul. He is a peach, right? He's the biggest human I've ever seen.
Where did he go to college? He was a
Northeastern State, D2 school.
Which is where?
In Oklahoma, either Texas or Oklahoma.
I think it's Oklahoma.
Like, yeah.
It's called Oklahoma. That school when I was selling.
No, really?
Oh, yeah.
Selling Costco, Cutco knives.
Yeah.
You guys interested in buying a knife?
I didn't have a lot of money.
No.
Well, they obviously had enough food. Brock, he's huge. He is.
He's the biggest human.
You heard Pete talking about him, right? Pete could not get over how large he was. I've actually heard some stories, but I can't repeat them on the podcast, but I have heard some stories about how big he is. He's gigantic.
Would you rather have $1 million or his helmet filled with nickels?
Filled with nickels? Oh, my God. And the funny thing, too, is he's not like the Ted Washington, Gilbert Brown wide body.
He's not obese.
No.
No.
It's all upper body. He's just huge. He's huge.
I said it to you on Monday. I keep looking at these pictures. You keep looking at Ketel Marte's at bat. I keep looking at how he dwarfs the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and by the way, that is going to be in Blue 88. We're going to get
the numbers,
numerology.
You're not in love with some of them.
Well, we got a problem with one in particular.
Is it Boye Mafe? That's where my problem is.
We're going to get to it in a little bit. But I have never, ever seen on any Seahawk, Breno Giacomini. Right, there have been some. DJ Fluker was an enormous man.
What was there? Silva Salinga. Was that his name?
Oh, yep. He was as wide as a door.
Right. I mean, but he was as wide as he was tall.
Correct.
But this guy's different. He's much taller than he is wide.
Now, Fluker is the only human that is in anywhere of a comp. Like Andre the Giant, just, oh my
God. Yeah, who's built like him. I mean, because I've seen Ted Washington in person. Ted Washington was frighteningly large, but really just wide and not that tall.
Yep.
DJ Fluker is the best comp, and this guy dwarfs DJ Fluker.
Correct. The only guy I've seen that big in my life is Dave Baker, who used to run the Hall of Fame. This is the biggest man I ever saw now.
Keep going. The rest of it's so funny. Don't stop it. Oh, my God. The rest of the stuff from Pete keeps getting funnier.
Where's Kyle? Kyle?
You know, I looked at him down there, and we were doing the bags. It's about 30 yards of running, weaving through the bags, and I was thinking about Nick, and he's looking at those bags, and I'm like, oh, man, it's a long ways down there, you know, take those four bills plus and go show what he can do. But he worked hard today, and I admire that, you know, that he came out and gave a good effort first day. But take it one day at a time.
Oh, my God.
It's the way Pete talks about him that's funny.
Oh, man, it's a long ways down there.
That's what it is right there. Oh, man, it's a long ways down there.
Oh, man, it's a long ways down there.
Did I tell you I saw David Baker in person, by the way?
No.
In the Hall of Fame last year. Oh, and the thing about him is it's his head. His head, I don't even know. There can't be a hat.
He kind of reminds you of Treebeard from Lord of the Rings, like the giant tree end. He just moves very slowly.
Kyle and I, for those who don't remember, David Baker is the gigantic man who ran the Hall of Fame forever.
And Kyle loves him.
Kyle can't stand him because he feels like he makes it all about himself. It's sort of like his sister Jean problem, where like when David Baker calls you to say you're a Hall of Famer, he's like, hello, this is David Baker. I'm David Baker. Did I mention that I'm David Baker? Yes, welcome to the Hall of Fame, and I'm David Baker.
When did Kyle turn into a Major League Baseball umpire, by the way? What's the deal?
Seriously.
Stop making these things about you. You're on the show.
David Baker is huge, and Kyle and I were digging around after this Nick Paul thing. He and I were in his office pulling up a Google image search of him, and there's a couple with him like next to like a small woman, and he's five times her size.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's who Pete's referring to when he says Nick Paul's this big.
Oh, man, that's a long ways down there.
He also makes it very clear in another cut. Do you have the other one? Where he makes it very clear that 385 is not close. He's like, oh, yeah, no, not 385. Like, it's definitely a lot bigger than that.
Did you see him? If he has any clue about taking care of business in there, you can't tell which gap he's lining up on, you know, so it'll be a problem for the offense right from the beginning.
The 385 on the roster, that's
pick it up a bit. I don't think the scale even registered what he was. We went to an alternative scale.
So did they literally, I mean, I think they went to like the freight scale, an alternative scale.
I heard he kindly passed on his way.
By the way, Pete doesn't like that. Did you catch any of Pete talking about what he was looking for in local tryout guys?
No.
The first thing he said is like, I don't like guys who don't want to run the 40.
Right.
If you come to a tryout and you pass on that, you're not for me.
Nope.
They don't compete.
Right. Nope. And then he said, and by the way, after I tell you that that's not good enough and then you run, you're still not good for me. Like I want the guy who wants to show up and show me something, and I don't blame him.
Yep.
I will tell you the last story, and I told this on the air, and Moore and I both were really taken by this, and maybe you saw the video of it. The jump ball drill they did at the end of practice was awesome.
Pretty cool.
Coolest, the most Seahawks-y thing I can think of, right? You're not allowed to really hit, and they didn't want any violence or anybody, any of that. So how do you still find physical competition? They did jump balls with a football.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys were going crazy. They were super into it. It was pretty fun. And like, it's just a very good, natural Seahawks thing.
Yep.
They did not let Nick Paul jump, though, as far as I could tell. He was not a part of that process. So, Brock, what are they going to do with the quarterback spot? What are you going to do? Like, are you going to go get Baker or not?
Well, our buddy Mike Florio continues to float that, right? That this is a long con game for John and Pete to get Cleveland to absorb as much of that contract as possible and wait till, you know, they have to get to that point. And I really don't believe, Mike, that point is going to be before training camp. I could be dead wrong. I could make this move tomorrow. And all of a sudden, like, man, just like you didn't think they'd trade Russell Wilson, you're not in the know, because they keep these things incredibly quiet. But every indicator, the same reason they didn't draft a QB, is because they want to give Drew Lock the opportunity, at least through this offseason, to truly show them what and who he is, right? To gain the information, as Pete and crew love to say. And man, I just tell you, every single day, more and more, you look at the pictures and the videos, and these guys are there and they're committed. And Drew is loving it and reaching out to him. He's like, man, this is everything and more that I had heard of. Everybody that I had talked to that loves to be in that culture and be in Seattle and just the environment could not be more night and day from what he just came from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he came from an environment that would have been very similar to the environment I was in 1999.
Yeah, it was beat down, right?
It's an old defensive curmudgeon. I mean, Mike Holmgren was an offensive, but it was just there's no relationship. There's no connection. There's no fun. There's no life. There's no juice. There's no music. There's no energy. There's no anything. It is just like old school fear-based football.
And I would assume you know this, sort of being in the area. My understanding is that playing quarterback in Denver is like being the goalie in Montreal. Like you are under the microscope, and they compare you to Peyton Manning and John Elway, and good luck.
Yes, two of the greatest to ever do it. And one in an incredibly athletic way, one with his mind. So you have like both kind of versions of it. So what are you going to do? Like, are you going to live up to that? Can you be John Elway? Or can you be as bright and as brilliant as leadership as Peyton Manning? Oh, no, you can't. Well, you suck. So get out. And that's why they've run through more QBs. And Russell Wilson is going to feel the weight of that and the brunt of that in a way that he never has in his career. I mean, that is a shadow that casts far and long and wide. So Drew is loving it. I've kind of reached out and I've not gotten a tremendous sense, because I don't think they've been able to do, to your point, a ton of competition. It's been a lot of lifting. It's been routes on air. I think the offense in this phase of the offseason now gets to finally compete a little bit and do things as a group. And eventually they'll get to, you know, their organized activities and truly get a gauge for where he's at.
I mean, all that is fine. I mean, I'm glad to hear all that, but the issue with Drew is going to be, can he not turn the ball over?
Correct. You're going to watch him. Like, you're going to go out to minicamp. You're going to see he's like 6'4". You know, he runs well. The ball comes out effortlessly. He throws with a lot of juice and a lot of ease. He's free and easy, man. And that ball comes out, and he runs well, and he moves well, and he's athletic. And you're gonna look at those toolsies and go, yeah, he's got a lot to work with. But then to your point, okay, now let's compete. Now let's crank it up. Now let's go to 100, and you're in the heat of the moment, and can you take care of the football? And can you throw it accurately, right? Because that has been the biggest challenge, is not quite Josh Allen accuracy numbers, Josh's first couple years, but close. And that's where he's going to have to make the biggest stride to prove the biggest critics wrong. And as I said, I'd be pretty darn surprised if he doesn't get this entire offseason leading into training camp. You know who Baker is. They've competed against Baker. They've evaluated Baker. They've beaten Baker a couple times head to head. They know who Baker Mayfield is. They want to discover in this environment who Drew Lock is.
Did I tell you that I was doing more handiwork around the house? Like while all of the guys were there working on my house, I was sort of impressing them with my my handiwork.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I bet you were.
Yeah. I did a little demo work. Oh. I helped uninstall a sink and take that thing apart.
Oh,
I did a pretty good job with that. And I think the guys were, there was some talk of maybe adding me to their demo crew after the job that I did on the sink. Uh-huh. And then I did a little plumbing work as well.
Whoa.
Yeah. I kind of cleaned
rewarding?
Out. Well, I cleaned out a pee trap, so that was pretty rewarding because the sink functioned better after that.
Yeah.
And then, I want to talk about this. I don't know.
Is this a Drew Lock? Are you getting to compare?
No, this has nothing to do with any of that. This is just you talking about him being toolsy, and it made me think about some of me using my tools around the house. Now, I'll wait on this one. I don't know that I'm comfortable talking about the other project. That
no,
I
we started with the height yet. Thing. We've realized the weight. Physically, another world has dropped you 3/4 of an inch. We don't need to know this.
I installed a washlet.
A washlet?
A washlet.
For your bidet?
Well, that's essentially what it is. It goes on. It's a toilet seat. It goes on top of the toilet, and it has bidet-like functions. It's a washlet.
Bidet-like functions on a toilet seat?
Yes.
What?
It's sort of a new thing. It's from Japan. You haven't read about it in Gizmag?
No.
All right. Well, that's what I now am the proud owner of, and installed it.
A washlet.
A washlet, yes.
And you like it?
Well, the first time I tried it, I don't think I've ever been more surprised by anything in my entire life. Heather and I worked on, I installed the thing. She's like, all right, we'll use it. Okay, she comes out. She's like, yeah, it works great. I was like, okay. So I go upstairs. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll try. Ah! I screamed. She's like, are you okay in there? I'm like, oh my God, I need to turn it off. True story. I'm not making up a second of that. That's not an exaggeration in the least. And I got back. I was like, we just wasted whatever kind of money. I'm never using that thing again. Were you crazy? And she's like, oh, I really think it could help. I'm like, no, absolutely not. No way. But I, you know, wanted to go back and try it again. And I think I found a way to sort of
make it work.
Yes. Ease some of the discomfort associated with it. And now I don't know whether I'd ever want to not have one again.
Wow.
It's pretty tremendous. Wow. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Washlet.
Yeah.
I have to look this up. Because I did the bidet. Heartsock's got a bidet. I never done one. Never really traveled.
That's essentially what this is.
I know. And I didn't. I got done with the bidet and I felt like I'd gone to my physical.
Yeah.
Like I had to keep wiping. I don't know. It just doesn't feel quite right.
Anyway, that's my life.
This is Brock and Sog's Blue 88.
Blue 88! Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Huard breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Sog.
All right, let's finish things up here with a little Blue 88. Brock, question number one for you. And maybe this has sort of been answered already by John and by Pete to a lesser extent. But KJ Wright says he would like to return. If he's going to play one more year, it would only be in Seattle. Doesn't want to move his family. Pete says they've talked, but it sounds more like maybe they've talked about a coaching role or something like that. What's a reasonable future for the Seahawks and KJ Wright?
Yeah, I think it would only be off the field, and that will be completely in KJ's court. And by the way, sign me up, register me. As great as Adrian and Peterson was in the running back room last year, there's nothing like having 10 years of pelts on the wall, as KJ does, as one of the most respected guys in that building, to become in some capacity, whether that's in management or coaching. I don't know what he wants to do. I mean, coaching's a whole different animal. It's a grind. It is an unbelievable commitment, right? It's hard for guys, I think, right when they're done, to just jump right into coaching. Many times it's like Aaron Curry. Then maybe you get away from it, spend some time, coach at the lower levels. There's some intrigue. Okay, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to grind. Is it realistic to think that KJ Wright's just going to jump right into that kind of commitment, that kind of role? No. but can there be something in between? Can there be maybe a liaison, maybe to work with Mario Bailey on the player development side to give KJ kind of an opportunity to craft a role and say, hey, what would you like to do? Would you like to work with these players? Would you like, you know, to help, you know, grow them and develop them and lead them in some capacity? But yeah, I think the playing days are over, and man, to jump full steam ahead right into coaching, that's a hard ask just finishing your career up.
I do, you know, like everybody, it would be great to have KJ around. I mean, I think it's interesting how much that group of guys ended up really, really loving Seattle. And not just the Seahawks, because that's a part of it as well, but really kind of embracing the community.
Because that's a bit uncommon.
Like, right, exactly. We haven't seen that with the Mariners in 20 years.
No, and a lot of times, especially guys come from the South, and KJ's from Mississippi, and the cost of living in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. Are you joking me? Do you know I could get 6,000-acre ranch back in Texas or Oklahoma or Mississippi or Alabama?
A guy like KJ made enough money that's not that important.
I mean, he's made a lot of money, but most of those guys that make a lot of money still care about their money.
True.
Right? It still don't really want to spend it and see that account drop too significantly. But he does. He absolutely loves it here. And you're right. There's maybe a few more in this vintage, right? In this era of Seahawks, it seemed to find some deeper roots than certainly their predecessors.
All right. Question number two. Brock, I have here the rookie numbers for the Seahawks. Eight choices.
I'm looking at them.
So, Kobe Bryant, number 8.
Home run.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. What else is he going to wear?
Correct.
Your guy, Ken Walker, the 3rd, number 9. It's what he wore in college. Yep, no issues.
K-9. He's K-9.
Yeah, I kind of like
great
that.
Great nickname, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I sort of would prefer a running back wearing 20s, 30s, 40s, but okay. I can live with 9. That's got kind of a sleek element to it.
Yeah.
Kyle's going to be so mad we did this without him. But Tariq Woolen wearing number 39. How do you feel about that?
That feels like a pitcher wearing like 67.
Really?
I don't know.
Brock, he's a physical freak, man. Seeing him in person, whoa. Yes. He's big and tall, and that he's got that kind of speed. Like, he is going to either be nothing or unbelievably awesome.
And 39 fits that, then. Boom
right.
or bust.
Exactly.
It's boom or bust. It could be something, and all of a sudden changes 39. Yes. You look at 39, like, wow.
Yep.
Or it's just you bust it out. Yep.
You're totally agree on that. So 92. I don't really have a problem with Woolen and 39. Kind of looks right.
We'll skip over the next one.
Yeah.
Let's go to the left tackle.
Let's go to the left tackle. We're in 67.
Very
like
solid.
That?
Athletic. Great mover. Yep.
I'm not in love with 67. I think I'd prefer 68, 64, 62. I think I'd prefer an even 60 number rather than the kind of awkward 7.
You know I love 7. I mean, 7's God's number. 7's a powerful, dynamic number. So
I love 72 on Abe Lucas.
Home run.
Home run for a
home run.
Like, that's a left tackle.
So we have a couple home runs in the rookie class.
Yeah,
a couple
like
home
that.
Runs. Yep.
Bo Melton's got 81. I don't know if he'll get to keep that forever. He actually strikes me as a single-digit guy, but I'm guessing he didn't have a chance to get that.
Yep.
Dariq Young with 83. How do we feel about that? That's Deion Branch, some other folks.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think he's got much of a choice. Like, I think that, like, ooh, most of the single digits are
gone. He's
got
a lot of work. I was watching film. He's got a lot of work.
Yeah.
Big boy. In and out. He's got a lot of work.
Big boy, though.
Practice squad feel. Okay.
And then you got Tyreek Smith from Ohio State, the defensive end, wearing 92. Dave Wyman's old. Did you hear Schneider come on and giving him grief about that?
No.
He was like, oh, yeah. I don't know. It was a whole thing, but he's giving it.
Well, the nice thing is, in Wyman's era, the shoulder pads were, you know, 6 feet across.
Right.
92 stretched a long ways. This 92, Smith's got a little juice to him. We hardly talked about him. In fact, in all of our podcasts and our reaction to the draft, I don't think we even mentioned him. Mm-hmm. I saw him at Ohio State. He's kind of buried amongst other elite players at Ohio State, but certainly
started
certainly
every
flashed.
Year.
He did.
I mean,
he
not just flashed. Started every year at Ohio State. Never lost his job.
He was the consistent one
right.
amongst a lot of sizzle around him.
Well, that matters to me. I mean, the fact that they never replaced him with all of the talent that came in there. He had some injury issues, and that probably didn't help. But
yes,
he always got his job back, and that means something to me. So I am a little curious to see how that works. And then I just, you know, I love Boye Mafe. Excited. And by the way, did you see the shot of him with his sleeves rolled up?
Uh huh.
Dude, what the heck?
Look like you and your head.
Jacked.
Yes.
53. Hard to be fast coming off the edge in 50.
Who's a 53? Who's ever been a 15-3? Why not? I mean, I guess some of the other numbers are already taken, the linebacker room. I'm going to guess he didn't have a say. I'm going to guess Boye Mafe didn't go in there and go, hey, EK, Eric Kennedy, give me 53.
Right.
Because it just doesn't.
Yeah. It doesn't add up. Yeah. No. I mean, like, really.
I'm not going to use the emoji that Kyle Brown used in our text exchange when the numbers
came out.
He was not happy.
No, Kyle's pretty upset about this. As I said, he's going to be more upset when he finds out we did this without him. All right. Question number three. Brock, I asked you a little bit about this already, but I'm concerned. Like, what? My mom, can I just tell you what my mom texted? Can I read you the text from my mom?
Please.
Because I'll read.
Happy birthday, Jane.
Happy birthday to my mom. But you're not supposed to read people's texts. This is my mom. I think I'll be okay. Uh-huh. She texted me and said, does the new contract with TB12 push Brock out of Fox?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't think so. Why?
It does. Thank you,
Brock does college. And my mom said, that's a lot of money in one place. Is there going to be anything left for Brock?
Your mom thinks that they might just fire everybody. He's the only person that's allowed to do the only way to make the budget work.
You know what? That is so sweet of
Jane. No, but they might go look for lower paid people than
that's
Brock.
Right.
Like,
that's
hey,
right.
See, my mom knows they're going to need to fill out the whole
roster.
She
knows business. She's a businesswoman.
And she knows sports. She watches every week. But she'd be like, you know, hey, Brock's making X. You could probably get somebody for X, you know, 1/10 of X.
I wonder what that email from Fox in my inbox was about.
Ringing howdy.
Yeah.
Internship. Hey, we can't afford to pay Brock.
There's an internship available to me now that wasn't before.
Yeah, your internship involves calling college games.
Can I tell you just a little behind the scenes, kind of funny stuff the last month? Having been around the executives as I've been covering the wonderful league I am in Birmingham, and it was kind of a funny vibe. Like, what's going on? Like, what are you guys going to do? You lose Troy, you lose Joe Buck. Like, what are they going to do? We know Kevin Burkhardt's there. I'm going to lose my partner, Joe Davis, who's the voice of the World Series now. But there was just this kind of weird vibe. Like, what are they going to do? And then, man, do they come in and just drop the hammer and just sign the greatest of all time. Troy, you want to do that to us? You wanted to leave? You wanted more money? Okay, fine. ESPN, you think you just, you know, Monday Night Football, you just won and you've saved the day and you're big and you're glamorous and we'll just come in and we're going to get the GOAT to a 10-year deal. Can he do it? Who knows? Is he going to enjoy it? We'll see. Is it going to sustain for 10 years? Is he going to see all that money? Is it really that much money? Who really knows? But it was a pretty big punch back, I think, certainly in the industry of, well, what are you going to do? You can trade for Drew Brees, right? There's all sorts of speculation. Nope, we're pretty strong, and we've got pretty big pockets. And, oh, by the way, there's a reason that when I've reached out to certain people, they've been in budget meetings.
Right.
Tell your mom that. That is a fact.
Yeah, sorry, Brock, we can't talk to you. We're trying to find some money for Tom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? So what are they going to do short-term?
Probably Greg Olson, I would think.
Kevin Burkhardt now the guy?
He is now the one.
He's the one. He does a good job.
He's excellent.
I'd be curious to see if he can grow into that, because I think he does a really good job.
Beloved in the building. Beloved by every director, every producer, every on-air talent in every sport.
So probably with Greg Olson, and then eventually Olson sort of goes into this knowing he's going to get bumped in a couple years.
But he gets to do a Super Bowl, right? And he's going to get
That's still kind of weird. Like, okay, cool, but you know that at the end of it, this guy's going to come in and take my job no matter what?
No matter what.
Dude, that's a weird system, I got to tell you.
It is.
Imagine if you were like, hey, the current Seahawks crop's not necessarily, but like if you were like Justin Fields or somebody like that in Chicago, and you're like, hey, just so you know, we've made a trade for Tom Brady, and he's going to be our quarterback next year.
Right.
But you get to do it this year, and we really hope you do well. Hopefully you get to a Super Bowl.
It's the weirdest thing.
It's so strange.
It's hiring a coach before a GM or vice, you know, like just, coaches in place. And
very weird.
We can't get the GM we want, but we'll get him the next year, and... Yeah, it is a unique circumstance.
You're literally going to lose your job next year, but good luck.
Correct.
So
no matter what you do, and even if you're unbelievable, and you get to call a Super Bowl, and so you get to realize the highest of highs in the industry.
And we're going to knock you right back down, whether for no reason.
Well, for
because we got Tom Brady, but we don't even know if he's good.
Right.
That is very strange. All right, that's Blue 88, and that's going to do it for the podcast today. Good stuff, Brock, as always.
That was
I've admitted too much today, so I'm going to
very transparent.
Soul's bared.
I think next week I've got covered to be more transparent about something.
Yes. Would you please? Could you start being a little bit more transparent?
I will.
Here on
next
the show?
Week, I guarantee it.
Thank you. As you know, confession.
Good for the soul, bad for the reputation.
We got to run. The hay.
Barn.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!